Blessed indeed. He can not only preach, but he can sing. And he can not only sing and preach, but he's a great mechanic as well. He get more talent than in that specifically than I'll ever have, for sure. Well, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. We're looking at verse 46, Mark 10 and verse number 46. It's always a joy to preach the Word of God. A very familiar passage of Scripture, Mark 10, verse 46, says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still." I love that. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabbi, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let's pray. Our gracious and kind Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful, Lord, for this day that you've given us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And my, what truth we have already heard through your word and through the message of the songs and hymns that we've sung and heard. We have so much, Lord, to be thankful for today. All the physical blessings, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us, we could not even begin to number them. But more important than that, we are thankful, Lord, for the spiritual blessings that you have blessed us with. The gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, and the gift of heaven. None of those things of which we deserve, none of those things are we worthy of. Father, you have bestowed your love toward us that even though while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son Jesus to die for us. And Lord, we owe everything to him. So Lord, help us to worship. Help us to follow. And Lord, help us this morning to listen. Listen to not only the words that resound to our ears, but Father, may your words reach the heart. And may the Holy Spirit do his work of convicting. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to speak to you this morning on blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. When we come to Mark chapter 10, we see that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And when he arrives there in Jerusalem, he'll be rejected by his own, the Jews. They will reject him. They will then betray him into the hands of the Gentiles. And there he'll be nailed to a Roman cross. But as Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, he and his disciples, they pass through this city named Jericho. Jericho is a name that means to smell or fragrance. The reason it was given this unusual name is because of the beautiful fragrance that absolutely filled the city. There were rose gardens there in this city. There was also balsam and cypress, all kinds of fragrant bushes there. But listen, there came a day when Jesus came walking through Jericho that a sweeter fragrance filled the air. There was one walking through that day who was the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Oh, listen, never had there been such a fragrance in Jericho as the day that Jesus came walking through there. But on this particular day, the roads of the city were very, very busy as the Jewish pilgrims were making their way to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And so the roads through Jerusalem were really this particular road through Jerusalem was really one of the main routes was through the city of Jericho to Jerusalem. And so you can just imagine the roads were just jammed, packed with travelers and with Jewish pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. People were lining the roads to get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had heard the news of Him. News had spread abroad that He was going to be passing through. And the Bible tells us about this man, blind Bartimaeus. Many sermons have been preached about this man, Bartimaeus. Many songs have been written about this man, Bartimaeus, about how Jesus healed him and gave him sight. And not just Bartimaeus, but there were many other blind men whom Jesus gave sight. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus was on this earth, He healed many different diseases, not just blindness. He healed the diseases. He healed people with palsy. He cleansed those who were lepers. He even raised the dead. You see, listen, unlike many modern day false healers, Jesus healed everyone. Everyone. Unlike modern day false healers who, listen, Jesus did not leave behind long lines of disappointed and distraught people who were not healed. No, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24 tells us that the news about Him spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to Him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains and demonics, paralytics. And the Bible says this in Matthew 4, 24, and Jesus healed them all. And then according to Matthew 12 and verse 15, it says that many followed Him and He healed them all. It's also seen in Luke chapter 6 and verse 19. It says that all the people were trying to touch Him, for power was coming from Him and healing them all. My soul, so widespread was Jesus' healing that He, in effect, banished disease from Israel during the 3 years of His ministry. Listen, John tells us in his gospel that Jesus did so many acts and so many things that there would not be enough volumes to contain all the things if they were to be written down. But I want us to see this morning, I want us to look at this man, this particular passage of Scripture that describes for us this man, old blind Bartimaeus. And as we observe this encounter between Jesus and Bartimaeus, I want you to look into your heart this morning. Because what Jesus did for blind Bartimaeus physically, and that He gave him sight, Jesus can do for you spiritually. He can save your soul. And this is a message, really, that both the Christian and the sinner can rejoice. The Christian should leave this place rejoicing even more in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing ourselves as what we were blind, we were beggars, we were in great need, and Jesus came and He saved us. But also the sinner should rejoice, because why? They have a Savior to whom they can call. And I pray that you would do that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, the first thing I want you to notice with me this morning is the condition of Bartimaeus. The condition of Bartimaeus, and I could say honestly, it was a pitiful condition. Pitiful condition. Because the first thing we obviously see and know about his condition is that what? He was blind. Blind Bartimaeus, it says in verse 46, the son of Timaeus. Now, it was not unusual in that day to see blindness due to the sanitary conditions and the lack of health care that we have today. But here was a man who could not see. He was totally blind. He had never known what it was like to see the beautiful sunrise. He had never known what it was like to see the beautiful trees or observe the flowing of a spring. He had never seen the stars in their places at night. He had never seen the beautiful sunsets that we are so blessed to see. Now listen, Bartimaeus lived in a very narrow world. He lived in a world of darkness. He was blind and he could not see. It was a pitiful condition. But listen to me this morning. There is another kind of blindness besides that of physical blindness. Listen, it is bad. I cannot even imagine to be blind physically. But the Bible says that there is another kind of blindness, and that is spiritual blindness. Listen, there are diseases which go beyond the diseases of the optic nerve and the retina. The Bible talks about the blindness of the mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible talks about those without Christ have blindness in their heart. So not to know Jesus as Savior is to be what? It is to be spiritually blind, unable to see spiritually. And listen, there are people all around us today who see quite well with their physical eyes, but they cannot see with their spiritual eyes. They have no apprehension of sin. They have no apprehension of the horror of sin. They cannot see where sin is eventually going to lead them. They have no vision of what it means to face the wrath of God to come. Listen, if you are saved this morning, you and I know that the Bible says that there is a judgment to come. That it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We know the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against sin. But listen, blind men, spiritually blind men, have no perception of that kind of situation whatsoever. They don't see the horror of sin, but notice also they don't see the loveliness of Jesus. They don't see the majesty of Jesus either. They don't see how lovely and how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. Listen, we have come to this place this morning to gather because we have learned about the loveliness of Jesus. We come and we want to learn more about Jesus. We want to grow more in His love. We want to learn how to serve Him and how to live for Him. But those who are outside of Christ are blind and they do not see the horror of their sin and they do not see the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about a blind man who was carrying around a sign at the corner of a street. And the sign said, "The sun is shining and I cannot see." Oh my soul, the Lord Jesus, in all of His glory, in all of His splendor, shines today in our world. He shines today in the Holy Scriptures. It is in the Scriptures that we learn the things of Christ. But He also shines in this world. When we see creation, we see the very glory of God. Yet those who do not know Jesus do not see the loveliness of Jesus. Listen, there may be some here today who are in the same spiritual condition that this man was in physically. And so really the picture of blind Bartimaeus is a reminder to us of the condition of men who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Bartimaeus had a problem with his eyes. The lost sinner has a problem with his heart, with his soul. The lost sinner is blind. He cannot see God. And so we think about the blind condition of Bartimaeus and think about it in light of that day and that period, how you can just imagine the constant danger Bartimaeus was in. During this time, the blind did not have service dogs. They did not have C&I dogs. So Bartimaeus would be in constant danger. There could have been times when Bartimaeus would be very close to a cliff and wouldn't even know the cliff was there. But oh, I think about the dangers, though, Bartimaeus, the blind man, was in that day. The same thing is true for those who are blinded spiritually. The Bible says about a man who is lost in sin and does not know the Lord Jesus Christ that he is in danger at every moment of his life of spending an eternity apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible warns us of everlasting darkness. Jesus talked about those who rejected his offer of salvation and then being turned into everlasting darkness. And so, my, what a terrible condition not to be able to see and to face the potential of living in an eternity in a place of eternal darkness. But that's what sin does. Sin tears the eyes out of the spiritually blind. Sin robs men of seeing that which is really important in life, and it risks the potential of spending an eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see his condition. He was blind. And notice, secondly, we see because of his blindness, he was a beggar. He was a beggar. Of course, this would not be unusual either. That his blindness had lowered him down to the poverty level. It had reduced him to nothing more than being able to sit by a crowded walkway, street corner, and beg. So this man, blind man Bartimaeus, had been reduced to poverty. Now listen to me this morning. Most of us are not in poverty this morning, materially speaking. Do you know this morning the Bible says that there is also more to poverty than just that of physical poverty? The Bible talks about the poverty of the soul. That it is possible, absolutely possible, for a man to be physically, materially quite well off and yet be spiritually bankrupt. Think about the richest men in the world. Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Bill Gates, all these men who own billions and billions of dollars, but yet, if they know not the Lord Jesus Christ, they are spiritual paupers, spiritually poor. And so we see that sin takes a man and puts him on a poverty level. Listen, that's exactly what happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. God gave man everything that man could ever desire. Yet when sin came, It stripped man of that, and man fell then to the spiritual poverty level. And so men who are without the Lord Jesus Christ are spiritually poor today. And listen, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, your life is like an empty pocket with a hole in the bottom of it. Emptied of everything that of value and worth. So here is a picture of what it means to be lost. It means to be spiritually sightless. It means to be spiritually penniless. What we see in his condition, Bartimaeus, is a very, very good portrait of every person outside of Jesus Christ who is lost in sin. Like Bartimaeus, only Jesus can open up your blind spiritual eyes. Christ can give spiritual riches to those who are spiritually poor. So I want us to see not only the condition of the man, I want us to look at, secondly, the cry from Bartimaeus. The cry from Bartimaeus. The Bible tells us in verse 47, this is very interesting, it says, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Matthew, in his account of the gospel, puts it much of the same way, but a little differently. Matthew says that when he heard Jesus was passing by. Now listen, old blind Bartimaeus, he obviously could not see, but he could hear quite well. Amen? His eyes, yes, were darkened, but his ears were very, very keen. And so he heard the word that Jesus was passing by that way. And no doubt he heard what all the people were saying about the Lord Jesus. He heard all of their excitement. And the people were spreading the news about how Jesus had healed the lame and how Jesus had touched blind eyes and healed the crippled. And as he's listening to them, he probably heard that Jesus also gave sight to the blind. Listen, I have a feeling that that day when Jesus passed by, hope must have risen in the heart of old poor blind Bartimaeus. And maybe Bartimaeus thought that this was his opportunity. Here's a man who can do something for me. Here's a man who can give me sight. So he heard the word, Jesus is passing by. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Jesus still passes by. Amen? Jesus has a way of passing by in people's experiences in life. I don't know how Jesus passed by your soul when you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you were listening to a sermon much like this, and the message that was preached pricked your heart as the Holy Spirit convicted you, and the Spirit of God touched your heart as Jesus passed by and you were born again. But that moment that you knew that He loved you and that He wanted to save you, maybe a kind word of a friend has been spoken and Jesus passed by as that friend shared the gospel of Christ with you. Oh, friend, listen, I don't know how Jesus passed by your soul. I just rejoice that He passed by my soul several years ago. And I also know that Bartimaeus heard the word that Jesus was passing by. And so the Bible tells us that here's a man who was filled with misery, was now crying out for mercy. Here is a man who had been begging for money, and now he's begging for mercy. We see this in verse 47. He says, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And we read in verse 48 that the people around him tried to shush him, tried to silence him. Bartimaeus, you're making a scene. Some probably even more rudely, "Hey, you beggar, keep your mouth shut." But no way was old blind Bartimaeus going to hush up. He just cried out the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Somebody else in the crowd looks at Bartimaeus and says, "Hey, will you shut him up?" But he cries out the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Listen, Bartimaeus was beyond their control. And so, but if you would with me in our sanctified imagination this morning, we can hear the noise of the crowd as they swarm the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there are hundreds, if not thousands of people just swarming him and crying all sorts of things out to the Lord Jesus. We can hear that noise. We can also hear the noise of the crowd trying to silence Bartimaeus. But if we turn down the volume for just a moment and hone in on the cries of the beggar, we'll find that his cries will get him everything that he desires. Now, why does he receive his soul's request? Why does he receive everything that he's asked for? Well, there's three things I want to give you. First of all, he was fully aware of his condition. That's why. He was fully aware of his condition. He knew he was blind, and therefore he knew he lived in perpetual darkness. From the darkness of his mother's womb, he had passed into the darkness of this world. He had been blind from the womb. Had Jesus not healed him, he would have been blind all the way to the tomb. He had never seen a tree blowing in the wind in the springtime. He had never seen the beautiful blue sky in the summertime. He had never seen the face of his mother or anyone else who loved him. But oh, unlike so many today who are in spiritual darkness, he knew what his problem was. He knew what his problem was. I tell you today, you know what's hard to find? An old-fashioned sinner. It's hard to find someone who is fully aware of their condition without Christ. And the reason why he was able to get everything that his soul requested was because he, first of all, was aware of his condition. The second thing is this. Bartimaeus displayed absolutely penetrating insight into the person of Christ. He kept repeating to everyone's distress, "Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David." It was a blatantly messianic title. And this is really significant because though Matthew twice records that Jesus was called Son of David during his earthly ministry, this is the only place in the book of Mark that he is ever called the Son of David. And it's not because Bartimaeus was somehow a great theologian. No, that's not the reason. He probably did not even understand much of the implication of what he was saying, but here's the point. He had come to an understanding of the exaltedness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had come to an understanding that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. Oh, Bartimaeus could see things that many of those people that had great vision could not see. Someone very bluntly asked blind and deaf Helen Keller, "Isn't it terrible to be blind?" To which she responded, "Better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing." Amen? So it is with blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus came to an exalted biblical view of just who Christ is. Bartimaeus came to see more than many of those men and women who had 20/20 physical vision. He had come to understand that Jesus was the Messiah. He addresses the Lord Jesus by his royal name. He recognizes Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah who would come. This brings us to the third aspect as to why Bartimaeus received everything his soul requested. And that is because we see his amazing, passionate persistence. His amazing, passionate persistence. Bartimaeus rejected the crowd's control, shouting again and again for him to be quiet. He rejected that and he cried out the more, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Oh, listen, understanding something of who Jesus was and understanding something of his own personal need, he kept saying it over and over and over again like a helpless child. It's very interesting, just a few verses prior, we find in Mark chapter 10 and verse 12 or verse 15 that Jesus said regarding children, he said, "I tell you the truth, that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter the kingdom of God." Well, Bartimaeus did just that. Like a little child who is helpless and cries over and over persistently, crying out for mercy, Jesus heard him. We see that he cries out for mercy. And that's really an unusual thing for people to cry out for, especially today. "Have mercy on me." Bartimaeus does not come to Jesus demanding his rights. We're living in a day when people are demanding their rights. As a matter of fact, we cannot keep up with all the rights people have today. We have all kinds of rights. We have women's rights. We have civil rights. We have senior citizens' rights. We have children's rights. And if you are blonde-haired and blue-eyed, you have a certain right. Everybody today is demanding their own rights. But listen, I have news for you this morning. I don't want my rights. I don't want my rights, and neither do you, because if we got what we rightly deserve, we'd be in hell this morning. I don't want my rights. We know that every one of us are sinners. We know that we deserve the wrath of God. We have no right to God's forgiveness. We have no right to God's heaven. We have no right to God's salvation. But what you and I need, listen, is not our rights. What you and I need is mercy. So I don't come to God demanding my rights. I don't come to God demanding justice. Now, if we're going to come to God correctly, we're going to come humbly before Him, pleading with Him to give us mercy. I love what David said, and the psalmist said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." Jesus told about the two in the temple who were praying, the publican, the tax collector, and the Pharisee. And he said the one who received mercy and salvation was the publican, the tax collector, who cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Bartimaeus calls out to God for mercy. I'm thankful this morning that that happens to be one of the things that God has plenty of. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, that He is rich in mercy. Titus 3, verse 5 tells us, "We're saved not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, as He saved us." Jesus Christ has plenty of mercy today. Jesus Christ can and will forgive you of all of your sin. So Bartimaeus, he cries insistently, "Jesus, have mercy upon me." And as we know, as he cries insistently, he upsets the people that are nearby. Now, as I said earlier, the crowd tried their best to try to silence Bartimaeus. I mean, listen, this crowd were the cancel culture crowd before cancel culture was even a thing. They tried to silence him. They tried to cancel him, but this did not stop old blind Bartimaeus. You see, beloved, listen, I have a feeling that Bartimaeus saw his opportunity and he was not going to let this opportunity just pass him by. And so far as we are able to see, this was the only time and the last time that Jesus would pass through this city on his way to Jerusalem just prior to his crucifixion. It was the one and only time Jesus would ever come that way to Jericho. And so Bartimaeus saw that this opportunity may not ever come again. And listen to me, I pray that this is the way you see this thing of salvation and the call of salvation to be saved. Because there comes a time that we know not when, a place we know not where, which marks the destiny of men. And friend, you better take the opportunity now which God has given you to be saved. We should never say, well, I'm just going to put salvation off. We should never procrastinate about this thing of salvation. Had Bartimaeus said, well, it may be easier for me to just try to find Jesus later. Had he done that, he would never have found Jesus. So this is why the scripture says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. This is why Isaiah called out in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6 to seek the Lord now while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Meaning there is going to come a time when we no longer live under the day of grace. We no longer live in the day of salvation. That will one day come to an end. So that is why, while we are in this present day of grace, to respond to God's call of salvation. So we see the condition of old Bartimaeus. We hear the cry of Bartimaeus. He's crying out for mercy, but then notice the cure of Bartimaeus. The cure of Bartimaeus. Verse 49 tells us, so Jesus stood still. Now think about this. Remember, Jesus is on his way to Calvary. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Crowds are jammed around him. People are absolutely swarming him. Yet there is one blind man with one single voice in that crowd, and he cries out for mercy, and the scripture tells us that Jesus stood still. Jesus, the one who spoke the universe into existence, stands still for one poor beggar. And my, what a window into our risen Savior's heart. That he stops and he calls for this beggar to rise and to come unto him. And my, what a picture of our Savior. And think about this. What Jesus did here, he is now doing in heaven. He is constantly in heaven, hearing the hosannas and praises of all the angels and those who have gone on before us. But, and yet, he is instantly attentive to all of our cries, even when a million of us beggars cry to him at once. When writer said the heart's cry of one in need is far sweeter to Christ than the shallow hallelujahs of an entire crowd. Amen? Hey, listen, if you're hurting this morning, if you feel helpless this morning, you have a Savior to whom you can call. And He will hear your cry. And so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." That had to absolutely thrill the heart of blind Bartimaeus, because I don't think anybody really cared much of anything for old Bartimaeus. He was not the kind of a person a lot of people wanted to be around. He couldn't do much. He wasn't outstanding in his gifts and abilities to what they would see. But yet here the Lord of glory comes through this town and he cries unto Jesus for mercy. And Jesus says, "Hey, come on over here." And look what he does in verse 50. "And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus." I like that because, listen, this is very important truth about salvation right here. This is not just thrown in, but there's a purpose why this verse is in here. Notice he had to remove anything and everything that hindered him from getting to Jesus. He just laid aside that old garment that might have somehow tripped him up on his way to meet Jesus. And listen, this is what the lost person should do. In salvation, lost sinners need to cast off the old garment of self-righteousness and come to Jesus. But I see him as he calls the man. I see him also as he cures the man. In verse 51, "So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi,'" or master, or Lord, "'that I may receive my sight.'" Hey, listen, if Jesus asked you this morning, "What could I do for you?" what would you say to that? Listen, this man, Bartimaeus, knew exactly what he wanted. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." It just so happens, he had come to the one who specialized in that. The Bible says, verse 52, "And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." We see how Jesus here, he puts faith into this particular situation. Someone said this, "Grace is the hand that extends salvation, but faith is the hand that reaches out to receive it." I love again how the Bible tells us, "And immediately he received his sight," right on the spot. Immediately, life flooded through those darkened eyes. Immediately, Jesus gave him sight. Hey, listen, that's just how instantly you can be saved today. The moment you ask God to forgive you of your sin and receive Jesus as your Savior, that moment you can be gloriously saved. And the Bible says that he followed Jesus in the road, or he followed Jesus in the way, as the King James puts it. And you can just almost see that after Jesus gives him sight, he just got in the crowd that was heading to Jerusalem with Jesus, and he followed Jesus. Listen, the key mark that a person has truly repented is that person has changed. And a true mark of a Christian is not somebody who repeats a prayer. The true mark of a Christian is those who follow Christ. Are you a follower of Christ? Is it the habitual habit of your life to want to follow him and desire to please him? That's what Bartimaeus did. And so what we have here is that Bartimaeus is saved. He is saved not only physically but spiritually. He follows the Lord Jesus. And scholars say the reason Mark here preserves Bartimaeus' name was that Bartimaeus became a stalwart in the early church. He became a faithful member in the New Jerusalem church. That's amazing. He followed Jesus. Think about this. He followed Jesus in the way, all the way to Jerusalem. Think about the things he saw with those new eyes. He was able to witness the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. With those eyes, he was able to witness the horror of Christ's crucifixion. But also with those same eyes, he was able, with joy, to see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you talk about getting one's eyes full. He got his eyes full. It's very amazing. This is the last healing in the miracle, our last healing miracle in the Gospel of Mark. It began with Jesus healing a blind man in Mark chapter 8, and it ends with Jesus healing a blind man in Mark chapter 10. But then, listen, like Bartimaeus, we are all blind until Jesus gives us sight. Like Bartimaeus, we were poor beggars until he saved us. We brought to him nothing but our own weakness and need, and he graced us with his power and blessing. Reminds us of the old song, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Praise God, Jesus stopped, and he had time for Bartimaeus. But also, praise God, Jesus had time for you and me. He had time for you and me, and what a blessing that is, that nothing has changed, really, in 2,000 years. That Jesus today still stops for anyone who calls upon his name. That whosoever shall call upon the name of Christ shall be saved. Jesus said, "Those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out." What a promise. And like, oh, poor blind Bartimaeus, no one is disappointed in what Jesus does in us. Jesus saves to the uttermost. He saves to the uttermost. And praise God, there is hope for anyone who in faith looks to Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father, I ask you, Lord, to take this simple message and use it for your glory. Lord, the seed of the gospel was planted, and I've done what you called me to do, to herald the message of the gospel, to be a proclaimer. And Father, now I rest in the work that only you can do, and that is apply this message to our hearts, to the Christian. May they leave here rejoicing, not in themselves, but in you, who has called us and saved us. And Father, I pray for the person who, like Bartimaeus, spiritually blind, they're spiritually poor, and they know that if they died today, that they would die without Christ and thus be lost for all of eternity. So, Lord, I pray that you would bring about repentance and faith, that they like Bartimaeus, would cry out for mercy. Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless the remainder of this day. And may this day be filled with our hearts pointed to your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And as we get ready to dismiss this service, this service this morning, I ask those sinners who are here that have never been saved, will you, like Bartimaeus, admit that you are in spiritual darkness today? And will you, like Bartimaeus, see Christ as He is? Will you see Him in His holiness? Will you see Him as the chosen one, the anointed one, the Son of God, Son of David? And will you, like Bartimaeus, cry out to God for mercy? You say, Brother Wade, how must we be saved? Same way Bartimaeus was saved. Come to Jesus and cry out for mercy. But unlike Bartimaeus, where he received an invitation directly from Bartimaeus, from Jesus at that time, Jesus, the Lord, through Scriptures, has already given out an invitation for all to come. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, all who thirst, let him come unto me, and let him drink of the water of life freely. So the invitation is being given by Christ to come to him. And the way we come to him is by faith, crying out for mercy, and then the fruit of our conversion is going to be seen in us following Jesus in the way. Are you following Jesus? Are you desiring in your heart to do everything that is pleasing to Him? I pray that is the case. And if you're here and you're lost, call upon Him today. Be saved. If you would like for me to speak to you on a more personal level and discuss with you more of the majesties of the gospel, I would be glad to do that. I'll be out in the foyer, available for you. Robbie's going to make himself available for you as well, if you would like. You can come at the end of our closing hymn if you want to pray and just rejoice in the Lord and His salvation. Maybe just another need you have that you just want to pray. You don't necessarily need Robbie to do that. You can pray on your own. Here's the great thing, the wonderful thing about not having what we would normally have, a public invitation in the sense that we sing a song, is that you now have all the time to pray without the pressures of time, without the pressures of, oh, I got to hurry up and pray because the people want to leave. You have all the time that you need to pray. And I have all the time that you need, if you want, for me to counsel with you. So I encourage you to do that. I encourage you also to pray for the children's camp that starts tomorrow. Be praying for all the children and all those workers who have volunteered all of their time and effort to be a blessing to these children and to, through this ministry, share the gospel of Christ to them. Well, let's sing. We'll be dismissed.
All right, let's sing this wonderful chorus. I worship you, Almighty God. Nominating team, we'll ask that you have a brief, short meeting here right after. If you're nominating team.